We don't have a lot of time left, so I want to share a word that came to me involuntarily on our return flight. We had some turbulence, and Xavier's been on a lot more flights than I have, and he said it was the worst one that he'd been on, so I thought, wow, this must be pretty rough. And I'd been on one I thought was a little worse than that, but you know it's bad when you get the passengers start shrieking out. Usually it's the women, not to pick on the ladies, but I'm sure there was a couple guys, they just didn't yell as loud, but we heard the women over them. You know, a few times we hit some things, and poor Noah was sitting next to this woman in her probably late 50s. He quickly became her security teddy bear, or whatever you want to call it. poor guy, 12 years old, and he's helping this lady keep it together in the midst of turbulence. And but it's just the thing that I began thinking about in those moments, and it was sustained turbulence. It's like an hour of just feeling like you're in a whatever, just being just shaken up and up and down. And a couple times it was like a sustained turbulence. I began thinking, like, what is it about what's happening? Because if you were I grew up with dirt bikes, four wheelers, all kinds of bump, you know, field cars, and being shook up and everything isn't really a problem. The thing that was concerning everyone on the plane is the fact that we were experiencing turbulence 36,000 feet above where gravity was pulling us towards. And so you combine the fact that things are shaky and you're several miles above the hard surface or maybe liquid surface, whatever it is that that gravity is pulling you towards, is what gives the anxiety in the midst of the turbulence. And I began thinking, and I just want to speak for a few minutes about gravity. Because I think gravity is something that we've all learned about it somehow. There's been times in our life when you realize and you pondered and you recognize, maybe not like Sir Isaac Newton, he didn't sit down with a pen and paper and try to like calculate the force of it and how to learn about it mathematically, but there's certain things we go through where we realize gravity is real and it's a law, and no matter how much you dislike it or don't understand it, it still has the same effect on you. And when you step off of something, you're going to go down, not up. It's just a law that we live on this planet under the influence of. And is this too simple? Maybe I'll roll my sleeves up. Maybe I'll come up with something a little more profound for you this morning. All right. Now, this Indian clothes, they're a little too small if you try to button them. And if you do that, then it's more comfortable. All right, sorry. That was for me, not for you. All right, and this isn't straight. Okay, there, we're good. We had a lot of fun. Maybe we had too much fun, and it's not just the jet lag. It's recovering from just being absolutely free in the spirit and just being in a place of being with the most amazing team. We had such a great time. I don't even know how to explain what it was that we walked in and walked through as we just endured GI problems and everything else that goes with being in a developing nation. There's a lot of discomfort, and there's a lot of heat, and there's mosquitoes, and we've, you know, was it 46 bug bites you got on one elbow that one night? Yeah, and like 45. He, like, lifts his elbow, but he's got 46 mosquito bites, and mosquitoes over there aren't like here, probably because we're not used to them over there, so when you get a bite there, we react, and it's like you got these big red knobs, and just in case any of you are thinking of going to India, that should discourage you. But through the midst of all of it, we just had a really, really good time, and I began just thinking back of how many times we were just in our auto or in the taxi, whatever, we're just singing, Jeremy's sitting in the back, there's seven of us in an auto and the back's open, and so motorbikes are all coming up behind, they're talking to you, and they know a little bit of English, and as soon as they see a white face, it's this big to-do, and, you know, we're just singing and blessing them, and Jeremy's just talking to all of them, meeting them out, where are you from, and, you know, while you're driving down the road, it's just this cool, otherworldly, it's not what we have here, you might as well be on a different planet. It's just not the same life. It's a different life that we're trying to come back and land back into. And it's really awkward. And it's not that this is better or that's better. It's just different. It's really, really different. But there's gravity there, and it's a different kind of gravity. There's things that pull on them as a culture and as a people that are different than the things that pull on us. But no matter where you go, there's this sense of gravity. And it's very true in the spirit. It's not just a natural phenomenon. There's something in what we're created to be that is always being pulled against by the forces of this world. And I don't know, I think you all feel it, and if you don't feel it, you just have to trust me that it's there. When you're just sitting on the chair, maybe you don't feel gravity, but if you sit there for an hour, your butt's going to get sore, and something you're going to need to shift and move, because gravity's taking an effect. Does not matter whether you understand it or not, it just has a certain effect. And we're designed to defy gravity in the Spirit. We're not designed to just walk, we're designed to soar. We're designed to take the law of gravity and bring to bear on it the law of lift, which is what God has created us for, and His plan has always been for that. You know, we were taxiing in the plane, and I began wondering how fast do planes taxi. So it's cool they have this screen there, and this particular big Airbus 380 or whatever it was, it's taxiing, it's doing 25 miles an hour, and when you're in something that big, it actually feels kind of, you feel like you're moving, you look out, and 25 miles an hour feels pretty big, but I did a little math, and we went 8,100 miles one way. And if the plane only taxied at 25 miles an hour, for us to go 8,100 miles would have taken 325 hours. Now, I mean, 15-hour flight, it seems like eternity. It's hard to imagine 15 hours sitting in a chair in turbulence and everything else. It's just like you start to go a little bonkers. It's just not, it doesn't feel right. It's like, did I pay $1,000 to do this? Like, what is wrong with, what was I thinking? What's going on? Something. They must have a better way of transporting ourselves by now. And yet, if we were going to do it by just what the plane can do on the ground, it's 25 miles an hour. It's not 700 miles an hour. It's just 25. And 325 hours later, we would have gotten to India, assuming that, you know, the thing could go on water at 25 miles an hour. And I feel like sometimes in my own life, and I'm looking back and I'm just reflecting in the midst of being all shook up, and why is this bothering me? And why is the whole plane tense and fingernails are digging into seats? And why is all this happening other than the fact that there is this force of gravity, and we understand the significance of what happens if at this altitude things don't go right and gravity prevails? And it's no different in your walk of faith. It's no different in the spiritual mark that we set for ourselves when we choose to follow Christ. There's no difference. To do what Jesus did, you can't do it in human strength, and you can't do it according to the law, and you can't do it according to performance. It's impossible. The only way to do it is to recognize that He's given us a spirit, and He's put a force on the inside of us in His own strength that allows us to supersede the law of gravity that's on this earth. And I'm talking about the gravity of selfishness, the gravity of living life for oneself is the greatest force of depression, anxiety, and everything else that restricts our thinking and binds us to this earth. It's just the gravity of life in this atmosphere without the view of what comes next. It's a powerful force, and many of us are just born in it. We live in it. We go to school in it, and we don't realize that God has a different plan. And I don't have time to read through the references, but I just want to read this from Exodus 19:4 if you're taking notes. Because this is something that God said to the Israelites, and He's trying to remind them when they were turning away from Him and they weren't remembering what He had done. He said, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." You see, in God's view, what He did when He took the Israelites out of captivity was He lifted them up and they literally flew out. From God's viewpoint, He sees that they flew from Egypt and He brought them into the desert so that they could learn about Him and meet Him and worship Him. But then we know the story, right? Well, how did the story go? The story went that there was 10 plagues. And in the midst of it, they had to make more bricks, and there was taskmasters, and there's people being killed, and the weak were dying. And all these things are happening moment by moment, minute by minute. These are the realities of their great deliverance that God says, "I brought you to myself on eagle's wings." In the moments, I'm sure it didn't feel like an eagle's wing when they finally did get out and they're at the Red Sea and the whole Egyptian army is coming up to annihilate them on the bank of the Red Sea. They're sitting there. They're freaking out. They're telling Moses, "What did you bring us out here just so that we could be slaughtered by the Egyptians out here? Better if you just left us in slavery." In God's interpretation, He said, "You saw what I did. I brought you out on eagle's wings." You see, God doesn't get shaken every time we're in turbulence and we get shook up. We think that God must be anxious about the anxiety that's in our heart, but He's not. He sees from a different view. He has this 747 in the sky view, and He sees where He's taking us. And if it gets shaky on the way, He's already thinking about the landing strip that's on the other side of where we're going. He's not concerned about the turbulence that we find ourselves in right here now. I hope that's not too hard, because I'm speaking to myself right now. You need to understand that God is not limited, and He's not anxious about the things that make us anxious. If He was, He'd be manic. God's not manic. He's not running back and forth trying to figure out how He feels based on how we're doing. And He's certainly not running around trying to figure out what to do now that you know, persecution is really coming hardcore to Christians around the world. And it's being shown on video around the world. So we're all having to process, okay, this is where we're headed. This is what it's going to mean. And this is what it's going to cost to confess faith in Jesus Christ. And there's a sense of turbulence that's starting to stir in the hearts of people. But God's not stirred by it. He's fine with it. Because he knows that after this, for those that have faith, those that confess him to the end, he knows that what he's prepared for us is beyond what human mind has ever imagined, dreamed, or conceived, or can calculate, or can draw art to. No matter how wild you've seen paintings of heaven and what they've tried to create, it's nothing compared to what he's prepared for us. And when you live in that view, when you allow your affection to be set on that place, you realize that, yes, your feet are moving left foot in front of the right foot. Yes, there's waves in front of you. There's water that parts, and you have to have the courage to walk through it on dry ground. All these things are going to happen, but God's not seeing it from your view. He sees it as, I'm bringing you out on eagle's wings. Yeah. And when you get to the other side, the waves are going to come in and going to destroy all your enemies anyway. He already sees all that. So when they're shaking and they're freaking out at Moses, he's not. Maybe it's just for a couple of you, but man, I see so many people lose their faith in turbulence. They lose the confidence. The God that hung on a cross for them is somehow suddenly weakened in their mind because of their turbulence and their condition and their woe. And their brokenness and their fear and their anxiety and everything else. God is not reduced based on human inflection and human insecurity. I see it more now than I ever have in my whole life. The weaker I am, the stronger he is. Do you know that? We could have a competition to see who feels the weakest in here this morning. Who really feels the weakest? Because the Bible says, let the weak say that they're strong. It's not about how strong you feel. It's about how strong he is. It's about the fact that he did hang on a cross until it was finished and didn't jump down when I'm sure he would have liked to. Why? Because there was a joy set before him. There was a defiance of gravity. If anyone be lifted up, Jesus was hung outside of gravity. He had to die that way for a sinless sacrifice to meet the criteria of the ancient code. He had to be suspended above earth so that he could truly receive the curse of sin upon himself. He defied gravity for us. That's who we are, folks. We're born of that same spirit. We're born of that seed. And I don't know why it seems so hard. I just already coming back. Man, in India, I just felt like we lived above gravity the whole time. I feel like we just walked. I mean, and we went to a pastor's house. We prayed together. This guy gets drunk in the spirit. Next thing you know, we're all just sitting around laughing at each other. One of his team members pokes their head through the door and like he pulls the curtain back. And I just looked at him. It was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. We're all dying. You get like Noah's looking around like, what's going on? Next thing you know, Jeremy's busting out. The joy of the Lord was just so rich and strong. And it's available to us here. It's no different here. It's just we got to figure out, for you have to figure out, we individually have to figure out what's going on in my heart that keeps me from soaring. What is my affection set on that keeps me from living and soaring above in the realm so that I'm in the place that God's planned for me to be, because he hasn't planned for me to do 25 miles an hour from now until the day I die. Because I'm not going to spend 325 hours going 8,000 miles when I can get there in 14 hours. But it means getting above the ground. You got to get up above what the things that you've tried in your own strength to do. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says this in the New Living Translation. It says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. This next line is what's really interesting. Right? They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. Wait, I thought they were flying. They will soar high on wings like eagles. The very next line, they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they won't faint. You see, your spirit needs to soar all the time because your spirit's spirit. What's the first thing when we hear all the stories of people that die? They go up above and they look down and they see their body. Immediately, your spirit defies gravity. Your spirit's not bound by it. I'm talking about the physical gravity of this planet. And it's the same. The spirit of your mind has to be renewed. There's so many folks that are just dealing with stuff because it's just in your mind. That has not been renewed. The spirit of the mind has not yet found the place to fly. They'll run and they won't grow weary. While we're soaring, we're going to have to run. While we're soaring, we're going to have to walk and not faint. There's so many sermons that have been preached about the difference between chickens and eagles. And, you know, chickens, they try to fly and they can't. And we're chickens. And, I don't know, man. I'm not here to preach that sermon. I just know that chickens and eagles are different. I mean, chickens taste better than eagles. That's probably one good thing about chickens. I don't know. I'm so jet lagged this morning. I don't know where I am. I think we ate some eagles in India. Some of that stuff was like, it was like chicken flavored chewing gum. Yeah, you chew it for 15 minutes and you didn't make any progress. And it's not because I don't have good teeth. Yeah, that barbecue was eagles. That's what was wrong. They gave us eagle meat. Yeah, I just close with this story. I prayed for a guy a few weeks ago at a home improvement warehouse here in town, and he actually is an amputee and he wears a prosthetic, and he was just in a lot of pain. And I talked to him many times before, tried to find a crack in the door to just, you know, he knew who I was. He knew I was a pastor. Sometimes he tries to avoid me, but this time I just felt like I got to get to this guy. I could see him limping worse than usual, and I just said, "Man, I can see you're in pain. Let me just pray. Let me just pray for the. I can see that you're in pain." And he's like, "Oh," and we had talked hours over the past year, probably, because he's in there all the time. He works there. And so finally I convinced him, "Just let me pray. Just let me pray." So I prayed for him, and I was like, "How does it feel right now?" And so he takes a few steps, and he's like, "Oh, that's just because you're asking me. That's just psychosomatic stuff. Like, you're asking me, do I feel better? And so I feel better because it's just all in it's all head games." But, and I walked away thinking to myself, God touched this guy, took this pain away from his leg, but because he's so used to doing 25 miles an hour on the runway and he's never soared before, even a direct touch from God, touching something in his life, he was so busy thinking that this was all that there could ever be, that he couldn't even allow, when God did do something for him, he's so programmed by the laws of gravity that he couldn't realize that this was his opportunity to believe in something that could make him soar. It has to do with what we believe. If you believe that all you're ever going to do is just idle down a runway, then that's all you're ever going to do. There's a lot of risk involved when you decide to go miles above where everybody else is at. It's like walking on a tightrope. It's like one mistake and you're done. Yeah, but what else are you going to do with your 70 or 80 years or whatever you have? Really? What else is there? It's here and it's gone. It's a vapor in the morning and it evaporates. We gotta rise up. We're called to fly. And we'll close with this scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, 14 through 21 just says this. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep." It's been easy for me. I've been up at 3 every morning for the last few days. "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Time seems to stop when you're asleep. You don't realize how fast it's going. And there's a slumber that's on this planet that I believe there's beginning to be, the alarms are going off, and I believe it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to realize that there's a life actually that's worth living. There really is. There's an actual reason why you should be asking people into your house and sharing the word of God with them and believing that you have something to share with them. It's actually time to wake up, because you can't redeem the time if you're asleep. Time is redeemed when we're awake, not when we're sleeping. We can't be asleep in the light. We have to realize that Christ will give us light. Arise from the dead. Rise up from whatever it is that's got us asleep. You know, we've had some smoke detector issues, smoke alarms. You know, they go off because the batteries have been going dead, and I think I put them all in at the same time. So, you know, you hear one, you replace it, next thing you know, another. We've got like 12 in our house. So I've just been yanking batteries. Just pull the batteries out, because I didn't have new ones, and you're not going to sit there listening to this chirp every 60 seconds. So just take the batteries out and silence the chirping. And I'm laying in bed the one night thinking, all right, so if there's a fire, how many of these rooms are not going to even go off? Because I've yanked the batteries out because I didn't want to be annoyed by the sound of it. The Word of God is going to set an alarm in your spirit if you begin to read it and you begin to understand what He's talking about. That this is a today word. That there are things that we need to accomplish now, like today, like this week. Or we stay asleep in the light. We stay asleep when we actually have the power and the light and the salt that this world needs actually resident in us. But people aren't seeing it because we're not opening our mouth. We're not realizing that it's time to wake up. It's time to be awake. It's time to arise from the dead. It's time to elevate. It's time to rise up. It's time to soar. It's time to get away from this gravity so that Christ will give us light and we're going to redeem some time. When you redeem time, people get redeemed in the process. Do you know that? People begin to see something different when you're awake. This whole world's asleep. I don't care if people are getting 3 hours and they're sleeping. I'm not talking about that kind of... They're asleep because they don't realize what's been prepared for them. They don't realize the vastness of God's love. They don't realize what's been set on God's radar, His menu that's been set for us, the table that He's prepared for us. They don't see it and they don't know it. And so they settle for whatever the world can offer. I don't even know what it is anymore. I don't really care to. It doesn't matter. It's all burning up. It's all melting. I heard them singing this song as I was just with our son in the room. All the other things, they just fade away. Why not let them fade away now? Why wait until the day when we stand before Him and His glory floods it all away? What if we allow His glory to flood it away now? Why don't we just stand together and just close in prayer?